Now,
Morning and hard.
let's go to this book here of Daniel. This very important scripture here, 7:23 to 7:25. It says, this is what he said. The fourth beast is the fourth rain on earth, which is different from all other rains. It devours all the earth, tramples it down, and crushes it. And the ten horns, the ten sovereigns from this rain, they shall rise, and another shall rise after them, and it is different from the first one. And it humbles three sovereigns. And it speaks words against the Most High, and it wears out the set apart ones of the Most High. And it intends to change appointed times and law, and they are given into its hands for a time and a times and a half a time. So we see here prophetically in the book of Daniel, this fourth beast, which is a kingdom, the kingdom of Rome. The kingdom of Rome made a great attack on the statutes of the Creator. And even in so much as in the 25th verse, it said it intended to change appointed times and law. And that's what they did. They moved the Sabbath from the seventh day to they made it the first day of the week, Sunday, or Dia de Sol, or Sunday morning worship. They did that. And for so many years, I heard that, well, no, Sunday now is the Sabbath because of the resurrection and because of the first day of the week, they would gather in the monies and what have you. But the Creator didn't say that. He didn't say that. But Rome was the leading force to change the times of the festivals and the proponents of the Torah. Rome did it. Fourth beast said it was more terrible than any of the other three that were before it. And that's so true, because if you remember back in the Greek Empire and also the Medo-Persian Empire, the captives from Yahudia, they were allowed to pretty much practice many of their religious beliefs, even so much that Daniel, he fasted three times a day and prayed three times a day and fasted, and, you know, it wasn't nothing wrong with it until they made a law against it. So once again, before Rome, it didn't become a real major attack on the Torah and on the Sabbath. But once again, in that 25th verse, Rome changed the appointed times and law. So that was where this all got started, this onslaught of attack against the Torah and against the Sabbath. Any questions on that slide? All right, let me go to my next slide here. Now, I'm going to give you some history here. It said the Catholic authorities proclaimed the Bible says, remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. The Catholic Church says, no. It says, by my divine power, I abolish the Sabbath day and command you to keep the first day of the week. And lo, the entire civilized world bows down in reverent obedience to the command of the Holy Catholic Church. And that's Father Enright of the Redemptive College, Kansas City, Missouri, taken from History of the Sabbath, page 802. They knew what they were doing. This was no oversight. This was no something that they went to the word for. Now, they said that the church is above the word. And you see them changing and doing all kind of things. That's why they had 20-some-odd councils where they collectively met. And then they continue to change the word. So once again, this was by design. So you came into a period of ignorance because, once again, the whole world was following after this fourth beast, this fourth system. Now, second, it said the set apart spirit places the seal of Yahuwah in our foreheads when we choose it. The forehead contains the frontal lobe, the section of the brain where our conscience is. When you receive the seal of Yahuwah in your forehead, it means you have it in your conscience. You believe in it. You're loyal to it. They shall not harm, but only those men which have not the seal of Yahuwah in their forehead. So this comes to be pretty important to have Yahuwah's seal upon us and his tenets in our conscience. And the Shabbat or the Sabbath has to be in the conscience of the believer. Because there's coming a time in the book of Revelation, it said, don't harm those, but only don't harm, do not harm, but only those men which have not the seal. So come a time, it's going to be imperative that you have a seal to escape some of the things that are prophesied to come. And very important to be known by him, be known of him. You got to do that. You just can't be somebody that, never showed up, never corroborated with him, never put his practices, his tenets in practice. You got to be known of the Creator such that his seal is upon your forehead. It's in your caribial cortex, frontal lobe there. All right, let me keep going here. Just as a government ruler uses his seal of government to enforce the laws of the land, Yahuwah uses his seal to enforce his law. Now this beast, this worldly system will use his seal or mark, try to enforce his law in the place of Yahuwah. And that's what we see going on right now. My wife and I, we were listening to an excerpt from Pope Francis today, and Rome is still influencing the religious framework of this land and of the people around the world, see? And they use their mark, to really determine who is in their fold and then who is not in their fold. So once again, these two different entities, Yahuwah and his covenant believers versus the beastly system and the worldly believers. So once again, be apprised that the seal of the Sabbath is used to enforce the law of Yahuwah. Now, let me move this up here, if you don't mind. Follow with me. Now, where will you find the seal of Yahuwah with its three parts? In the very center of his law, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it set apart. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. Yahuwah, thy Elohim, and it thou shalt not do any work, for in 6 days Yahuwah made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Elohim blessed the seventh day holiday. This is the only place in the Bible where you will find Yahuwah's seal and the three parts of that seal. Let me just go through it for you. His name, Yahuwah, is in there. His title, he's thy Elohim, thy mighty one. And his territory is heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is. So you see, he has total oversight over all that we currently see in creation, because heaven, earth, the sea, and all of them belong to him. And once again, he intends for his tenets, his word to be the thing that's done. He says that that word be done on earth as it is in heaven. One set of diabolical action going in on earth, and then heaven being the place where his rule is based upon his word. So we see it's coming. It's going to be a conflict because earth has to be brought back under the subjection of the laws of Elohim. Anybody got any questions on that slide?
Yeah. Elder, I have a question on that slide.
Yes.
All right. In that first bullet where you said, and lo, the entire civilized world bows down in reverence, obedient to the command of the Holy Catholic Church, that is breaking also the first commandments. When Yahuwah said, thou shalt have no other mighty ones before me, neither shall you bow down. A lot of times we think it's an image, because we say in this day, we don't bow down to any images. I mean, the Catholic may do to Mary, but most Protestants don't relate to this. But when you worship in reverence, obedience on that day by the command of the Holy Roman Catholic Church, you have put another mighty one before Yahuwah. So now you're breaking two of the commandments.
That's right. That's a good point. That's true. That's true. And another scripture says, and the whole world followed the beast. And you just look at all these dignitaries that fly over to Israel, and the Pope comes and visits their country, and they kiss his ring or whatever, you know. The thing that's happening is Rome did this. The fourth beast is yet in influential power today. It's there. And the thing about it, it casts a whole net around the entire world, because they have all these different, what I call emissaries, missionaries or whatever. You got the Jesuits. They got people on every continent, probably every country, and they got their tenants in the government and everything else, you know. So once again, as Sister Anderson said, you're breaking them. Have no other mighty one beside me. You're breaking that first commandment as well as the fourth commandment. And that's not good to be a lawbreaker. That's not good. Good point, Sister Anderson. Anybody else have a question or comment here? All right, let me keep going here. This is just, like I say, a lot of history, historical reference here. Yeah, I like to bring in my friend when I talk about the Torah. Y'all know that's Brother Moshe. Yeah. Yeah, they call him the lawgiver. And now what he did, going back, brief history, four of these tenants relegated the relationship with the Most High. Have no other mighty ones before me. Make no graven images. Do not bring the name of Yahuwah to naught. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it set apart. Them four governed our relationship with the Creator. The last six, honor your mother and your father. That's the first with promise of the commandments. That fifth one. Bear no false witness, not kill, not commit adultery, not steal, not covet. Those six regulated man's relationship with his fellow mankind. So you quickly start seeing the Creator always was one of order. And he put it out there where everybody could see him. You know, there's judges that have gotten in political hot water because they wouldn't take the Ten Commandments off the walls of their courtroom. See, that's how far this thing, deep this thing run. And many like to allude to the United States legal system being framed around these 10 statutes. And so, like I said, these are forever. They're not going away, folks. So, you know, I hear a lot of people, they really, the fourth commandment, just, it makes a lot of people upset. They really take issue with it. But the Creator knew what he was doing in creation, and it's going to hang around a while. Any questions on them 10? Y'all have seen them time and time again. It should not be no surprise to anyone. Let's go to the next one here. I always like to go here. In a recent Catholic Church newsletter, it stated, perhaps the most revolutionary change the church ever did happened in the first century. It said it actually happened in the fourth century. It said the set apart day, the Sabbath, would change from the seventh day to Sunday, the day of the Lord, Dies Domini, was chosen not from any direction noted in the scripture, but from the church's sense of its own power. People who think that the scripture should be the sole authority should logically become Adventists and keep Saturday holy. That's from the St. Catherine's Catholic Church Sentinel, Algonac, Michigan, May 21st, 1995. Well, here's a problem, and a lot of the Yashalites are really, they got to have a breakthrough. That 6 day Saturday is not the Sabbath. Now, when Pope Gregory changed the calendar, and they moved to this fixed day calendar, it messed a lot of people up. And it's amazing to me how the world, the technical people, all of them track the new moon. You can find out the new moon from so many different sources. It just amazes me they're tracking it. And the reason they're tracking it, they know it's important enough because it affects so many things. But then in our day-to-day walk or execution, they totally disregard any knowledge of the new moon, which is used to officially determine the Shabbats, the Sabbaths that occur within that month. So I just, as I've studied this thing more and more, I'm just amazed at how NASA and other technical entities, they track this new moon down to almost hourly or minute precision. But then when it comes to our daily life, because of the Pope Gregory's calendar, it's totally off the radar by the majority of humanity. And that's because the Catholic Church changed things. If they had never put in a Sunday as we want to say, Dies Domini, they would have had to come up with something, and that would have had been to stay with Sabbath. See? But this whole time, management, time, a delineation was done by the fourth beast that decided to change set apart days and the Shabbat. It did it. It happened. They did it. And they admit they did it. Let me kind of go up here again here. Yeah, Ella Anderson. No scriptural support. It says Sunday is a Catholic institution, and its claimed observance can be defended only on Catholic principles. From beginning to the end of scripture, there's not a single passage that warrants a transfer of weekly public worship from Sabbath to Sunday. That's in the Catholic Press, Sydney, Australia, 1900. They you know, it's a bold thing to just out in front of those whom you have deceived so boldly state, we changed it, you know. Almost daring people to change it back, see. And the scripture is going to get these people. All right. Mark or Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the scriptures, and this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. That's the Catholic Record, London, Ontario, September 1st, 1923. So do you see a trend here, folks? I hope you're starting to see, you know, that's why you and I didn't know anything too much about Sabbath observation until we start studying. And then, you know, if you really studied the scripture, I'm not talking about reading the Bible. We got a lot of Bible readers. We used to be Bible readers. We read the Bible once every year, and we ran over them words without ever looking up what them words meant. So that's why we did not have a reverence for the Sabbath. We thought we were doing it by Sunday. We were wearing ourselves out, running up and down the highway. Any questions on this slide? All right, let me wind this thing up here. Then shall those who fear Yahuwah speak to one another, and Yahuwah listens and hears, and a book of remembrance be written before him, those who fear Yahuwah and those who think upon his name. They shall be mine, said Yahuwah of hosts, on the day that I prepared a treasure possession, and I shall spare them as a man spares his son who his own son spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again, notice this, again see the difference between the righteous and the wrong, between one who serves Elohim and one who does not serve him. Now this last, I want to really hit this last verse. You will again see the difference. Now there was a time in history where you saw the difference. You knew the heathens versus the covenant keepers. You knew it was clear as mud. And they received different treatment from the house of Yisrael. But as things got blurred and everybody started doing a multiplicity of different worship methodologies, you couldn't tell the difference. You know, I tell people all the time, try to make like there was a big difference between the apostolics and the Trinitarians. No, there wasn't. When we started to start this work in 2003, we were looking at this apostolic creed, and man, we come to read that thing, and we said, that sound like Trinitarian. Well, it's all the same. It's all the same. They, you know, the more we try to split hairs, the more we realize that all of these alternative forms of worship really are one and the same. It is an anti-Elohim Yahuwah methodology, which he is ultimately going to do away with. But we need to now to really open our eyes and again see the difference. Because we got some folks that's wimping out on some of these basic, what I call fundamentals, that's putting them right back into that anti-Elohim Yahuwah mindset. They, you know, these folks, I'll tell you, there's some things the scriptures say that we ought not be doing it as believers. And people get to the point where they think they're above Elohim and they're going to do what they want to do. Well, now you put yourself in that vast entourage of anti-Elohim Yahuwah activity. And once again, he's opening up the eyes of his covenant people to see again the difference. There's a difference. And that's why many of us had to come out of the places that we were in. They really did not want you there when you start telling them about the Torah, when you start telling them about the things that Elohim wants us to do, making a difference between the clean and the unclean, the righteous and the unrighteous. And his word always does that. When he steps in to a room of darkness, light emanates from him and dispels all darkness. So he will always make a difference by the dynamics of his set apartness. And so it depends on you and I getting the mark of Yahuwah in our foreheads, in our frontal lobe, where it is the governing methodology by our actions, our thoughts, our mannerisms. So we got to understand this 58th chapter is a big chapter because it comes down to giving you the ability to again see that there's a difference. And I don't know no other way to wrap this thing up on this 58th chapter, because the worst thing to do is to go through the application of the 58th chapter and then come out of this process the same as you went in. That would be insanity, as they would say. You know, go through and do the same and then come out expect me to change, but you know, there ain't none. So we really have got to deliver ourselves from this untoward world, this untoward direction that's going. And you got to realize today, and the thing about it, we don't have all of our lives. Most of us have depleted over half of our lives already. So now you, the Bible says, redeeming the days because they're wicked. You now are really having to do a lot of double time to redeem and recover those wasted years. We sang a song, a time I spent, years I spent in vanity and pride. See, those are wasted years, folks. They really did not merit the esteem of Elohim that we said in the initial verses there, the two verses that we should have given him. So that's tonight in a nutshell, where we should end this thing is, again, being able to see the difference. And then again, to be able to make the difference, you know, not just people standing on the sideline watching, but people out there on the field are doing the action, doing the heavy lift. Do I have any questions on this slide or anything that have been said in previous weeks leading up to this 10th month, this Natah, the breaking of the yokes and delivering ourselves from the gravitational hold that these false, I call them fourth beast lies have on us, because that's all they were. And a lot of people, the scripture said the whole world followed after the beast, the Roman Catholic Church, its methodologies, its teachings, its ways. But you really don't need to do that, because if you take their Sunday morning worship mark on you, you don't want to do that. That's going to get you in trouble with the Creator. Because when you worship determines who you worship. That's what I used to tell people all the time. We don't worship the same guy. I said, we're not targeting the same destination. I don't think the Creator ever, in his wildest dream, wanted to take a terrestrial mud baby and throw him in a celestial setup. He didn't. Man's work was to take and subdue this earth. He ain't done yet. After all these thousands of years, he still ain't done. So I don't know how you can take and promote a kindergarten flunk out to a college degree lawyer. I'm not even do that. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. Man is forever propagated to be down here on this earth, because he's a mud baby. The mud is where, that's all he know. And he's not gonna be able to escape the mud. So, you know, get out of your mind sweeping from one star to another and all that stuff. I don't see that happening. Not in the way I read his word. Somebody made up a lot. Well, I know who made him up. The church made them up. They come out of Rome. They made up all these fables and got a lot of people believing them. And just think about all the people who did penance and paid money to get relatives out of purgatory. Think about that. All that money that the church collected praying for lost loved ones who they knew was in trouble, but to get them out of purgatory. Come on, y'all. Now, we better than that. The grip that Rome had on humanity, a lot of people fell for it. Any questions tonight? Any questions on this lesson here? Once again, this great 10th month.
Thank you.
And it's a good month to find your deliverance.
Thank you.
It's a good month to step it up so you'll be able to see again the difference that Elohim said do. He said, make a difference, folks. Right. He never wanted to look at the past of humanity with righteousness, unrighteous, evil doing, whoremonging and all that. And so they're all the same. I love them. No. He said, make a difference. Make a difference.